Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're watching this archive. This is Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr., and this is the Alliance of Honorable Men. I hope you had a good exam week. Thank you for your cooperation in our transition. We're looking forward to the rest of the year being smooth. I have been meditating our last classes that we've had, talking about apostolic faith. Everywhere you see the word faith, you can replace it with the word assignment. I hope you had a chance, and if you haven't, you need to run a reference on the word faith. Everywhere you see the word faith, replace it with the word assignment, and watch how crystal clear faith becomes. We have discovered that faith, the number one objective of faith is to please God, is to bring to pass the dreams of God. The reason why I'm taking so much time to talk about this is because in the past we've been taught that faith is just to get what we want. But when we, as we make this transition from a self-centric point of view of reading the Word of God to a God-centric, we will realize that the first objective of faith is to bring to pass the dreams of God. Of course, Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now, that leads me to a very familiar scripture that you're familiar with, Matthew 6:33. It says, "Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And what's going to happen? All these things will be added to you. So now what we have to do is we have to connect operating an apostolic faith to getting our needs met, to getting our desires granted us, to get what we want. Because listen, the Bible says in Psalms 37:4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." So God is aiming to get you what you desire, but there is a prescribed order. There is a way of doing things. And when we understand the mystery of how to get this done, it will allow things to happen in our lives that we never dreamed of. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What is that power? That power is the ability to bring the dreams of God to pass. It's very simple. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 27, "All that are heavy laden and burdened, come unto me and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So the weights and the burdens that you are carrying in life, you were not designed to carry those burdens. You were designed to carry the burdens of Jesus, which are light, which are easy. Mary said it best. Mary says, whatever, when in John, the second chapter, when Jesus was in the process of getting ready to turn that water into wine, Mary looked at those men and says, "Whatever he says to you, do it." It's just that simple. So we got to put ourselves in a position to do what God is asking us to do so that we give him the privilege of adding all these things to us. So today, I want you to turn to Mark the 11th chapter, and I want to show you faith in action. Mark the 11th chapter. And we're going to wind up dealing with a scripture that most of us have read and learned about faith. Mark the 11th chapter, verse number 12. Let me see, I need to prove something. Let me go to let's start at verse 1 because I want to give you the setting. I want to give you where Jesus is so you can know what's happening. Verse 1, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, I'm in verse 1, he sended forth two of his disciples, and he said to them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be enter in, ye shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man said unto you, why do ye do this? Say ye the Lord had need of him, and straightway he will send him. So the disciples went and did that. So I want to see that Jesus is going into Jerusalem, going into Bethany, and he's getting ready to make his triumphal entrance. Look at verse 12. And on the morrow, meaning the next day, when they were come from Bethany, Jesus was handling business for the Father. Remember what faith is. Faith, you can translate it to assignment. You use the word assignment. So Jesus was on assignment. All right? Key is, remember this. Jesus was on assignment. And on the morrow, verse 12, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. Now, that statement seems confused. Why would Jesus be looking for figs out of season? This is very important. Why would Jesus be looking for figs out of season? Because the Bible says in verse 13, for the time of figs was not yet. But if you read the beginning of that scripture, the 13th verse, it says, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves. Whenever a fruit tree has leaves, that means fruit exists on that tree. Now let's find something that's unique and different about this. The Bible admitted that the time of figs was not yet, but the tree had leaves on it. So the tree had leaves on it, there was supposed to be fruit. Let's continue reading. Watch this. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Did y'all catch that? And Jesus did what? Answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now watch this. Jesus carrying on. And when they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of money changers and the seat of them that sold doves. So Jesus again, Jesus back on assignment. Back on assignment. And he taught them, saying to them, it is not written, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, because they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. All right, watch this. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Verse 22, very important. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God, or have your assignment in God, or have your assignment come from God. You see how that's making sense? Jesus said, have faith in God. There's two sides of faith. There's the believing side. There's the acting side. The believing side deals with trust. So therefore, watch how this works together. You have to trust God enough to know that what he's asking you to do is going to produce fruit. All right, so you got the trusting and the believing. Then that's only one part of it. Then you got to act. Act on what? What he's telling you. How are you going to act on what he's telling you? When you trust him enough to know that what he's telling you is going to produce fruit. All right? So Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Now let's go back to verse 14. And Jesus answered the tree. He answered it. So that means the tree was telling him something. Now, what was the tree telling him? Let's go back to verse 23. Notice now, verse 22, Jesus said, have faith in God. Verse 23 says, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." What is that contingent upon? That's contingent upon having faith in God, or having your assignment comes from God. So verse 23 is predicated on 22. If I don't have my assignment come from God, because watch, Jesus made it very specific. Watch what Jesus said. Jesus said, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," not all mountains, "this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So in other words, Jesus saying, I'm only dealing with this issue. Because watch this, Jesus was on assignment from God. Was on assignment. You see, from the first verse in 11, in 11th chapter, Jesus was on business for God. The Bible says Jesus was hungry. Go back to verse 12. "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry." See, what you must understand and realize about faith is that when you understand the first objective of faith is to bring to pass the dreams of God, then God lays out everything you need to accomplish that assignment. Not only does he lay everything out you need, but he lays everything out that you need and want, your desires. Jesus was hungry. That's when he looked and saw far off and saw this fig tree that had leaves on it. Now, why would the tree who else can make a tree? Oh, God, glory to God. Who else can make a tree have leaves on it outside of its season? Nobody but the creator of the seasons, God Almighty. So here it is, God knowing his servant is hungry and God is providing for his servant. Now, we're going to see something now that's very powerful. Jesus walks upon this tree because the tree had leaves. If a tree had leaves, it's supposed to have fruit. Go research your science. If a tree has leaves and it's a fruit tree, a tree's supposed to have fruit on it. The only time when you don't see leaves, that's how people know when there's fruit on a tree. That's how we know. Is then when a tree has leaves, it has fruit. When it don't have leaves, it doesn't have fruit. Go do your science. Do your research. Jesus walked up on this tree. And because it had leaves on it. Now there had to be other. Now he walked up with this particular tree. So there had to be other fig trees that didn't have leaves on it. Had to be around there. But this tree had leaves on it. So Jesus expected to have figs. Now who again would cause that to happen? God Almighty. Now watch how Jesus shifts. Jesus got to the tree. The tree didn't have fruit on it because the tree was trying to say, it's not time for me to have fruit. But yet God, who's the creator of the universe, had overwritten that tree. But that tree told Jesus, yeah, I got leaves, but I ain't got no fruit. I am not trying to be a part of your assignment. That's when Jesus had the ability to curse that tree. Because that tree was trying to defy the Father, was trying to defy God's instructions. So when that tree defied God's instructions, Jesus then had the right to curse it and say, you will not do this to anybody else. If you don't obey God, we will get you out of the way. What I'm saying to you, when you operate in faith, what's faith's first objective? To bring to pass the dreams of God. Anything and anybody that get in your way from accomplishing what God is asking you to do, God gives you the right to deal with it. God gives you a right to cause it to get out of your way. That's why Jesus said, this mountain. So you must understand the significance. God is prepared to provide for you. And when those are any company or any client or anything that's trying to block you from accomplishing what God wants, God will cause them to be dealt with by what you say. You must understand. Excuse me right quick. You must understand that when you put your total trust in God. Why am I taking so much time to talk about faith and the apostolic faith? It's because when we start getting into the lines of honorable men, it's going to be important for you to understand how you're going to have to be God-centric, because there's some principles in the lines of honorable men that's going to cause you to deny yourself. It's going to cause you to put your wants on the back burner. It's going to cause you to have to think differently. And if you don't understand the apostolic faith, if you don't understand the true purpose of faith, the first objective of faith, you're going to have conflict. Because if you're thinking faith is just to produce what you want, and then God gives you instructions that have nothing to do with what you want, you're going to be confused. But when you understand that I have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to me, then you can understand that God's instructions for your life is the door that opens to you getting everything that you desire. That's why I'm giving this a live example with Jesus. Jesus was on business for God. Seeing this tree, the tree answered him and said, I'm not giving you no fruit. When that tree answered Jesus and said, I'm not giving you no fruit, Jesus had a right to curse that tree. And God used some other form, some other means to provide for Jesus' hunger. Let's go further. Look at the 24th verse. This is a very familiar scripture. Look at the 24th verse. Look at the 24th verse. Then Jesus went on to say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Let's read that again. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, if you know anything about English language, there are things called independent clauses and dependent clauses. In this particular scripture, we see a few dependent clauses. All right. What I mean by dependent clause, dependent clauses says, if you read the phrase by itself, it don't make sense. It has to be attached to something. So watch this. When ye pray is a dependent clause, because when we put it out, it says, when ye pray. You can't state a statement by itself because it don't make sense. When I pray, what's supposed to happen? All right, watch this. So let's take that dependent clause out and read the scripture. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them. Whoa, that statement still makes sense. It says, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So now when it comes to our desires, what we're supposed to do? Believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them. So the clause, when ye pray, cannot be in reference to asking what we want, for what we want. Because if it's for asking what we want, then when do we have time to ask God what he wants? When is our focus is going to be put on what God wants rather than our focus put on what we want? See, when you go to God in prayer, you're asking God, and this it leads me to my next point. You begin to ask God for things, for something. When you ask for something, that means you're going after it. So if you got your Bible sitting on your lap and I come to you and I said, may I have your Bible? That's me asking for it. That means I'm going after your Bible. I'm coming after it. That means I desire it. I want it. So therefore I ask you for it. So if Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That means when I go to God and ask, I should not be asking for personal benefits. I'm going to prove it to you. I should be asking God for what he wants and how he wants it done. Because if I can ever find out how he wants it done, If I can ever find out what he wants and find out how he wants it done, the Bible says he will add all these things that I desire to me. So therefore, we look in the 24th verse, and it says, therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire while you're praying, that don't mean ask for those things. It's just whatever you desire while you're praying, when you pray, what you're praying for. Let's go to Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Let's start at the 8th verse. Jesus is teaching the disciples different things. This Matthew, the 6th chapter, is very powerful. This Matthew, the 6th chapter, is really apostolic, setting God's agenda in a higher position for these disciples. And Jesus is showing them how he put God's agenda in a higher position in his life. Watch. Verse number 7. Jesus talking. Jesus says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. So all the personal stuff that you need, God already knows you need it. Matter of fact, God already knows what you need to complete your assignment. He knows all of it. So go to verse 9. So Jesus says, since he knows all of it, after these manner, you pray. Pray ye. It just says, pray like this. Our Father, let's go through this. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's read that again, because I want you to see something. I'm going to ask you a question. Let's read again, and I'm going to ask you a question. This is class, right? We're learning. I'm teaching, right? So we're learning. We're going to read it again. Be not ye there, verse 8, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. All right? After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What did Jesus ask for? Because he said, Jesus said, this is how I pray. What did Jesus ask for? Did Jesus ask him for the frankincense? Did he ask for the myrrh? Did he ask for the gold? Did he ask for the fish, the money in the fish mouth? Did he ask for anything? Here it is. Did he ask for anything personal? Did he ask for anything that will benefit him personally? No, he did not. What did Jesus ask for? First, he acknowledged. What did he acknowledge? He said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Sacred is your name. Sacred is your character. Sacred is your agenda. Your ways of doing things, thy kingdom come. Your ways of doing things come. Your will be done. God, I want what you want to be done in earth as it is in heaven. So God, in order for me to do that, give me this day my daily bread. Give me this day my instructions that will help me bring to pass your dreams. This is powerful. If you can just grasp this, all of your desires, all of your needs, all of your dreams will come to pass. If you understand how Jesus prayed, he said, give us this day our daily bread Forgive us our debts. Lord, clean my conscience. If there's anything that's hindering me from getting this daily bread, clean my conscience as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the way, is the kingdom, your ways of doing things. And the power is your power, God, and your glory, your success forever. Amen. So that leads me to ask the question, when I go to God and communicate with God and begin to ask for stuff, am I wasting my time asking for what I need personally? And the answer is yes. Because according to Matthew 6:33, if we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Because again, in that latter part of that sixth chapter, I want you to see it. Go to verse 32. Because again, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do you see that? He said, the heavenly Father again knoweth you have need of all these things. But eliminate it. So in other words, it makes no sense to go to God asking God for personal things. I need to be going to God and asking God to give me, God, what is it you want? God, what is it you want to accomplish? How do you want to accomplish? God, what? Give me the tools it takes to complete your assignment. Give me what it takes. Put in me, pull out of me what it takes to do what you've asking me to do. Because it makes no sense I'm wasting time going asking God for the stuff, because that's not how it shows up. That's why Jesus never bothered asking for food in that particular instance, because God had provided. And then when God provided, the earth tried to deny it. Jesus cursed it. Jesus cursed it and found other means. Other words, I read that passage to show you how powerful you are when you're operating in apostolic, when you understand God's understanding of faith. When you have God's understanding of faith and why he established faith and why he established his agenda. Next class, what we're going to do is I want you to begin to run a reference on the word ask. Run a reference on the word ask, and we'll begin to study that next week, because we're going to hone in on what the word ask in the New Testament, what it really means. What are we asking for? Are we just selfish people asking God to give me a house, give me a car, give me a husband, give me a wife, give me great children, give me this, give me that? All of those things will be added to you when you know what you do, when you discover what God wants with you, and you're able to execute it in the earth realm. I bless you. I look forward to being with you next week. Remember to run. We haven't even got to the book yet. We haven't even got to the Lines of Our Men. When we get to the Lines of Our Men, it's going to change your life, because now your asking is going to change. Now your focus is going to change. Now you will shift. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You're going to shift from surviving to thriving. See, you're not, when you get into this ark called the apostolic, which is God's agenda, there come floods, high water, turmoil in the system. It will not affect you. It may affect everybody around you, but it won't affect you. Why? Because you've gotten inside God's agenda. So again, I bless you. I look forward to being with you. Again, if you have any questions, any concerns, you can email me. You can talk to Deidre. We're here to help. Our objective at Ever Increasing Word Training Center is to put you in a position to where you can do everything God has called you to do. So again, I bless you, and I'll see you next time.